www.thebeatsonline.com, or you can call our friendly operators at 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. Armor up with Life Change Power Cleanse at GetTheTea.com.
And the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain.
Welcome, Michael Effect listeners. This is Liberty's Hammer and Anvil. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Larry B. Kraft. I'm an attorney from Huntsville, Alabama. I'm sitting here in my office. Oh, and we've had some rain over the last couple of days, and it looks like it's raining outside right now. Oh, gee, I got my windows down. Hey, Tommy, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm right here.
And what's your purpose in this program?
I'm just sidekick.
You're a sidekick?
I'm a humor relief sidekick, you know, or what do they call that in sports? The color announcer or something like that?
Yeah, that could be the case.
I'm a colored announcer.
So, who's LSU playing today?
Who what?
Who is LSU playing today? Do you know?
I don't even know. I don't have time to keep up with them. You know, I figure they're okay. They're, you know, they're the biggest and the baddest in the country. What do they need me for?
Wow, what a braggart. Hey, folks, we've got Joe Bannister coming on in 30 minutes. I called Joe this morning to be a guest, and I've been on his radio show over the last couple of weeks. So I wanted Joe to come on, and he's got something else to do for the first 30 minutes. But in 30 minutes from now, he will be our guest for the remainder of the program. So, Tommy, what can we talk about here in this 30 minutes that we're killing?
Well, there's a whole lot happening. You know, you were on my program with Liberty Works yesterday, and you heard me talk about the epilogue on a recent case down there in Florida, in Pensacola, where two people were being called on the carpet for saying grace over lunch at a meeting of a couple of faculty members and some supporters. No students, no public function, no students.
Okay, hey, back up. Let's get the facts straight here.
Yeah.
They got enjoined. There was a public school that got enjoined from saying a prayer?
No, I'll tell you what, it was worse than that, Larry. It was a public school that got threatened, and they said, okay, we'll enter into a consent decree to not allow prayer at any school functions.
Wow.
And
they
tucked their tail and ran like a scalded dog because somebody threatened them. You know, it reminds me.
Who threatened them?
The ACLU. Who else? You know, the.
Wow.
You know, Anti-Christian League. And I don't know. I haven't made up something for the U yet, but.
Delusional League.
But, you know, these guys. Now. You know, if it had been, you know, a Muslim prayer, or if it had been a Hindu prayer, I doubt anything would have happened. But it was a Christian prayer, and this, you know, there are three things that are still left that you can malign and treat badly in this country. It's still politically correct and permissible to mistreat, you know, white males, Christians and heterosexuals, but and I guess that really puts me in a really bad position because on top of that I'm a smoker, and that's the fourth one. So, but they turned tail and ran. You know, it reminds me of my first fist fight in grade school. You know, me and Douglas Theall. No, it was Van Hathorn. Me and Van Hathorn were the two littlest kids in the first grade. And we got into an argument and decided we were going to duke it out, you know. And right after school, we selected the vacant lot on the way home for both of us. And, of course, the whole school knows that little fight's going to break out, little fight because it's little kids. And it did take me but a second or two to knock him down and get on top of him, and I had his elbows pinned under my knees and was about to work him over royally when he said, "You better let me up." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because I am 8 years old and I weigh 60 pounds. Well, it sounded like a pretty good reason for me. I jumped up, let him up. He jumped up, ran off. And I'm sitting there looking like an idiot. I won the fight and they were laughing at me. Well, that's exactly what the school did. You know, the ACLU comes along and sues them, and they just bend over and grab their ankles and say, do what you will, just be sure and, you know, pull my gown down when you're done. And, you know, that's, it's disgusting that they would sit there and give up and sign off, supposedly, unalienable rights of their employees, of their students, of anybody else who might come onto school property for school business, and just say, okay, nobody on these school grounds has any right to worship. You know, we've given up our First Amendment right because we didn't want to be sued. We didn't want to go to court. And I've seen that time after time after time. The city of Shreveport is under a consent decree regarding, you know, drawing of district lines. We can't do anything at all on redistricting without sending it to Washington, D.C. first and asking their permission.
Wow.
Our school systems are still under consent decrees, not rulings, not something that the law imposed, not something that the law was found to have called for or justified, but consent decree, where our school's faculty have to be made up of a certain racial percentage of this, that, and the other. And the net effect of that is that the school system is under a court order to discriminate in their hiring practices on the basis of race instead of on their basis of merit. Something that, if they were caught doing, could be punished. And so that's what happened down there in Florida.
So they entered into the consent decree, and then what were the facts that resulted in some type of subsequent legal action against them?
Well, as it turned out, what happened was that the principal and the athletic director and some boosters were getting together for a little meeting, not a school function, just a meeting, and they were being served lunch in their meeting room. And just without thinking about it, without, you know, just because it's a natural thing to do, the principal turned to the athletic director and said, "Would you bless the food for us?" And the athletic director didn't think about it, and he certainly turned around, gave a brief little blessing for the food, and then the next thing you know, the ACLU is complaining to the court that these people had violated the consent decree and were therefore in contempt of court. And these guys are up for 6 months imprisonment, loss of their jobs, loss of their retirement pension, and, you know, all because they, you know, spent, what, 20 seconds on a blessing privately in a room with just some boosters and the two members of the faculty. And I don't know how they found out about it unless one of those boosters was an interloper. But they did find out about it. It did come out, and the principal didn't deny it happened. The athletic director didn't deny that it happened, but they both denied that they were in contempt of court because they didn't have any intent to defy any court order. And unfortunately, and fortunately all at the same time, that was what the case went off on. It was not on whether or not they could be, for example, the principal signed off on the consent decree, but the athletic director didn't. So it didn't get off on the question of whether or not the consent decree could deprive other people of their right to worship and practice their religious beliefs or not.
Tommy, I was off for about a minute there. We had a power surge here at the office. Didn't know whether you noticed anything.
Well, you know, that was probably LSU kicking off.
Yeah, could be.
You know, it has that effect. I've known it to cause lights to go out, you know, 5 mile range.
Wow.
You know, powerful kickoffs. Yeah.
So this proceeding, when the AC, who would have complained if this was a small gathering at the school? Who would have complained?
That's a good question.
How did the SEL?
I have not been able to find the answer to that question as to how did the commies, and a lot of people don't realize this, but the ACLU, and I've defended them in some cases and in some quarters, because sometimes it seems like they're being even-handed, but they're not when you look at what they do. But the ACLU was actually started by the leader of the Communist Party, you know, one of the Communist Party members.
No kidding.
That's the whole thing goes back to trying to carry out that communist manifesto of eliminating religion, eliminating personal responsibility, deteriorating property rights, you know, creating dependency upon government. And that's exactly what they're doing there, and that's what they work on.
Well, tell us more about this case. So there was a contempt hearing in front of the judge that approved this consent order?
Well, even before the case, some other developments that I think that make for a hell of a story. The community itself was actually more contemptuous of the court order than these two people were. At the graduation ceremony, for the first time in the history of the school, neither the president of the senior class nor the valedictorian were permitted to speak because they were both Christians.
Wow.
And it was feared. Now, I talk about prior restraint is the words that come to your mind and mine, because we're attorneys and prior restraint. But what it means is gagging somebody, not to punish them for having said something you didn't want them to say, but to say you're not even going to be allowed to talk because you might say something I don't like. And that's the first time in history. Well, the students, in defiance of that, took tape and put crosses on the top of their mortar boards. All the students in the graduating class, in the middle of the graduation process, no longer a ceremony, but a process, all stood and recited in unison the Lord's Prayer.
Good.
Now, that's in your face.
Right.
You know, you got to hit it to these kids. Just whenever I start thinking that they're not worth saving the world for, they come and do something like this and mess my day up and put me back to work. You know, but... the same students were outside the courthouse during that hearing on Thursday. The same students were out there supporting their faculty members. And the guy said the count was something like 960, but called 1,000 people came in from all over the place, some of them from Mississippi, some of them from Alabama, some from Georgia, and a lot from Florida. They came to the courthouse. They jammed up and filled up the courtroom, and there were almost 1,000 of them outside spilled over to show their support. And the judge comes back and says, "Well, the violation wasn't intentional, so there was no contempt." Now that's not going to be enough, and if this school has a hair on its head, it'll go back in and revisit that and say it's time to lift this, because that's just dead wrong. I'm all for religious freedom, but that knife cuts both ways.
I'm back from that second cutoff, Tommy.
Say again?
I am back. I got cut off again.
Oh, okay. Well, you missed all the best part. You know, But the story comes down to is that these two guys have now gone back to work. They're not going to be fired. They're not going to be put in prison for 6 months. They're not going to lose their pensions. But the chilling effect that it has on anybody else exercising their right to worship and to practice their religious beliefs is has got to be there. Who wants to have to fight and go to court every time they turn around and do something? So people just will stop doing what their beliefs call for them to do, because they know, I don't want to go through the ordeal that those two men went, even though they won. And so they've got to go back in and get rid of that consent decree. And these schools and these cities and these counties that are being maligned and threatened with the bludgeon of court, having to go to court. You know, you and I talked about this yesterday, but, you know, we need to figure out some way for people to be able to have access to the courts without having to come up with $200,000 or $300,000. And I think I'm assuming that Larry has been knocked off again. So that means I get the carp all by my lonesome, you know, and fuss about this. There's a lot more to fuss about, too. You know, what else can we fuss about? Well, they're doing all kinds of weird things. This vaccination thing is something I want to get Larry to get on when he gets back in. And once he gets back up, he's got a ton of research he's done on that issue. But this vaccine thing, the more I look at it, the more skeptical I become. Maybe I'm jaded, folks. Maybe I'm getting to the point to where I'm even paranoid. But like I like to tell my clients all the time, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. And just because they're, you know, if they are out to get me, then is it being paranoid? And if a tree falls in the forest, was it really aiming at you? You know, and in this case, I think it is. I think they're after us. I think that they are wanting to control what we do, what we have, what we keep. They're already controlling that with an illegally applied income tax. They decide how much of our fruit of our labor we get to keep. And if they do that, they're controlling 100% of your paycheck, folks. Do they have that right? Well, we've got the music. You get in here, and that means that we've got a break here on Liberty's Hammer and Anvil with Larry Becraft and yours truly, Tom Cryer. And we'll be back here right after the break, and I'll be looking for you on the other side.
Always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier. Go to themicroeffect.com and click on Berkey Water Filters. That's themicroeffect.com and click on Berkey Water Filters. Or dial 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the
Mile Motor March on the last week of October, first week of November of this year around the entire state of Florida. And on this entire state of Florida Motor March, we're going to conduct 15 Tea Party Squared rallies, and we're going to conduct 10 Reclaiming the Lost Art of Citizenry seminars. And then all of these people, and any of you that can make it, or that are at these rallies and at these seminars, are all going to assemble again on November the 7th in St. Augustine, Florida, at the old Spanish fort there on the waterfront. And we're going to hold what we're calling the finale rally. We're going to hold on to, the whole area is going to just be covered up with patriots like you, like me. Larry's going to be there. We're all going to be there. And we're going to make a loud noise. And we're going to let the government know that the state of Florida is also ticked off. It's going to be the first statewide Tea Party in the country. And because this is a state thing, too. You know, it was the states that created this beast. And then the beast killed the states off with the 17th Amendment. Took them out of the loop because they used to have the Senate. And now they don't. And so the states have been elbowed to the side. And that means there's nobody between the federal government and you and me. Scared yet? I am. Because you can see what's happened as a result of that. So we're going to be raising some sand. We're going to be raising cane down there, and we're going to have us a heck of a good time doing it. You know, the problem that we've got now is just getting the word out to everybody. So that's what you can do. You can Chad out to all of your, every one of you guys out there, and every one of you gals out there. You've got a list of people you send things to. When you get a good joke or you get a good gag or you get a piece of news that's important, you send it out. Well, we need to get the word out on this. And you all, every single one of you can help. No, no, everyone you can, every single one of you can help. I'm not kidding. You know, I get this every day. You know, oh, nothing I can do to make a difference. Well, I'll tell you something about that in a second. But right now, one of the ways that you can make a difference is write this down. Write down Tea Party Squared written out, because it's real hard to put a superscript to or an URL. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. TEAPARTYSQUARED. Mickey Mouse. TeaPartySquared.com. Okay? TeaPartySquared.com. Write that URL down and then send it out to everybody that you have in your address book. All the people that have been getting the news from you, all the people that have been getting jokes from you. Well, this is more important than any of that news, any part of that jokes. So write it down, get it out to your entire mailing list and to your entire address book. TeaPartySquared.com. And we're all going to go to St. Augustine, Florida. We worked out good motel rates down there. The Finale Rally is going to be on November the 7th. If you're in Florida or near Florida and want to go to one of those seminars, because that's what it's going to take, you guys have heard, or maybe you haven't, so I'll tell it again, the pig story.
Well, before you do that, hey, Tom, Larry, I'm back on.
All right, we got Larry back on.
Well, no, I had to come use a different phone. I've got electrical problems at the office. You know,
I was just commenting that you've been having internet problems all day, and now you're having phone troubles. Have you looked outside to see if there are any black Suburbans parked out?
No.
Hear any helicopters?
But can you handle the rest of the show? I'm getting somebody to, you know, I don't want to, there's a wall plug that's popping out all the time. Power for my phone.
Well, let's see how it works out and see, you know, maybe it'll square it up.
But if I don't come back on, handle Joe.
All right, well, I'll just carry on without you. You just missed three dirty jokes.
Oh, you can tell me them later.
Okay.
Hey, have a good show.
All right.
Good night.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye. All right, everybody. Well, we just, you're just out of luck if you tuned in to hear Larry today. But you know, every cloud has its silver lining, and the silver lining today is me. I'm silver-plated, at least. But we were talking about Tea Party Squared. That's what we're calling this project, where we're going to take a motor march, a mile-long motorcade. It's going to be headed up by the flagship, which is the Granny Warriors, what I call their war wagon, that red, white, and blue, and stars and stripes motorhome. It's going to be at the head of the line. Banners, flags, signs flying, lights on. And when we go through any towns, horns honking and waving and whatnot going on, we're going to have ourselves a rolling tea party. And if you want to go to one of these seminars that we're conducting on the lost art of citizenry, you can get online and register for those at that website. You can also register for it by going to the Truth Attack website and checking the events calendar. And I think now, just barely faintly, but I can hear that we are, I believe, going into another break. And when we get back here, we'll have a guest with us, a surprise guest. Garrett Larry hasn't let you in on it yet. But we've got a guest on the show this afternoon, and it's going to be a great guy. That's all I'm going to tell you at this point. But we'll be back here in just a couple of minutes.
There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast.
Now you can feel that squeaky clean sensation like none other with Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash. Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash is a unique natural formula not found in any other oral care products.
With a gentle combination of zinc, folic acid, myrrh, and clove oil, Vitamer effectively whitens teeth, removes plaque, and freshens breath, and it does it naturally without any harmful chemicals. Visit us online at Vitamer.com. That's Vitamyr.com. Or call us today to place your order at 1-888-558-8482. That's 1-888-558-8482. Keep your teeth and gums healthy with Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash. Vitamer, nature's answer to healthy teeth and gums. And remember, it's all completely natural. Available at participating health food stores nationwide.
When you build your own firearm, you build confidence.
KT Ordnance offers the best ATF-approved 80% kits that can be made into firearms.
And when you build your own firearm,
you know it inside and out.
You know how it fires.
You take pride in ownership. Head to KTOrdnance.com for a great father-son or father-daughter firearm build, like the .45 caliber KT-1911, or choose the .50 caliber KTP-50 that fires a 275-grain bullet for pure stopping power. KT Ordnance's kits are fully legal, ATF-approved, 80% firearm kits with no serial numbers, no background check, and no government 4473 forms to fill out. Go to ktordnance.com and get yours today. That's ktordnance.com. ktordnance.com. Building your own firearm is fun, and you acquire useful skills,
especially in times like these.
Remember, when you build your own firearm, you know it inside and out. KT Ordnance also accepts gold and silver payments. Visit ktordnance.com today.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from CJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean it really works. No, I mean it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us, and we love you.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast.
There we go. So, we have, I told you we had a guest on the back end of this break, and we do. And I'm going to introduce him in just a second, but I did promise you the pig story, didn't I? Well, when I was growing up, I grew up on a farm. There were seven kids to feed. And we grew, raised, gathered, hunted, just about everything that went on that dinner table, including pork chops. And about every few months, we would raise up some pigs, a couple of pigs, take them down to the slaughterhouse and have them processed. That's a clean word for slaughter. We took them down and had them processed into pork chops, ham, bacon, sausage. And the way we did that was that we would get them by the back legs and walked them like a wheelbarrow onto a trailer. And they would get on a trailer, but the whole time that you had hold of those legs, they were squealing to high heaven. I mean, screaming. If you've never heard a pig squeal, it's hard for you to imagine just how loud that can be. It can hurt your ears. But they got on the trailer, and they became pork chops. And all that noise didn't save them. And that's basically where we are on our Tea Party movement. It's wonderful that Americans are starting to wake up. They're beginning to realize that something's wrong here. This isn't the way we're supposed to be going. We're lost. We're off track. We're off the road. You know, we got to get back on track. We got to get back to where we're supposed to be. But they don't know how to make that happen. They do know we're lost, and they do know that we're headed for disaster if we keep going like we're going. They can sense that. They can see it. But they don't know what to do about it. So they're making noise. At least they're waking up. But that noise isn't going to help us any more than the squealing helped those pigs. They went on a trailer. So that's why we Truth Attack is putting on these seminars in Florida, 10 of them, to teach the lost art of citizenry for the last three generations, maybe even a little longer. We've trusted our government officials, elected and appointed, to govern themselves. You know, to limit themselves to what they're supposed to do. And they've been going without adult supervision for so long, we've forgotten. They've forgotten who the boss is, and we've forgotten how to be the boss. There is an art to exercising the power that belongs only to an American citizen. You know, you can remember that there were times throughout the world, no matter where American citizens went, they were treated with respect because it was like a head of a state. Because everybody in the world knew that the American citizen ruled the most powerful, the most prosperous, and the most generous nation in the world. Now, they may not have liked us. They may have thought we were pushy, that we were loud, that we were crude. And oftentimes, we were. But they respected us. And they don't see that anymore. And the reason is that they can see that our kids are out of control, and they don't respect us. Because they can see that the government is dictating to us, not the other way around. That we've become peasants like them. And we're entitled to no more respect than they are. So we can get it back, folks. But we've got to regain that art of citizenry. We have to relearn how to crack that whip over the heads of our insolent and indifferent servants, not masters. How to again resume the role of the boss. And we've got to do that. And let Congress know. Let the White House know. Let the Supreme Court know too. That the boss is back, and the boss ain't happy. Heads are going to roll. Maybe literally, according to what some of the folks I know that want to have a good old-fashioned Nuremberg and crank up the guillotine. Because basically a group of people have overthrown our republic and replaced it with this socialist, tyrannical, despotic, megalomaniacal government wearing the mask of a republic. And there's got to be a reckoning for that. Now, enough of that. Let's get to our guest. Our guest today is no stranger to the micro effect, and he certainly is no stranger to the freedom movement. A hero to many of us, yours truly included. He's definitely a hero of mine. And I'll just bring him on by just telling you what his name is, and that'll let you know exactly who he is. And we're going to get his story in a minute. But Joe Bannister, former special agent of the Internal Revenue Service. Hello, Joe. How are you today?
Excellent, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. All things considered.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming on. I appreciate your responding to Larry's request. It's always good to visit with you. Where are you now? Are you traveling around? Are you there in Nevada?
In Nevada right now.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I wanted to do was to get started out here, because some of the folks here may not know. I can't imagine it, but I was instructed to start out with this, and so I will. To have you tell, basically, your story, Joe. What for those who haven't been introduced to you or haven't heard your story, why don't you just start at the beginning and tell us what it is that ended up with your being a former Special Agent of the Internal Revenue Service, CID?
Well, I won't start clear back at my birth, but I'm 46 years old, so I was born in 1963. So I guess, I don't know if that's called middle age or what, but I'm in my upper mid-40s. And I was born in a, you know, into a middle-class family. My father worked for the city of San Jose, California, in their design and construction division. Roman Catholic family, you know, so baptized Roman Catholic, went to Catholic grade school, high school. You know, so fairly uneventful. I have three younger brothers, and my father actually passed away in 1993, but, you know, my parents were married for, you know, till death do us part. So I was blessed with a, you know, good upbringing, a fairly moral upbringing. And when I got into college, a mentor of mine said that I should get into the accounting profession because I could be virtually assured of always having work. You know, he told me how there were plenty of people that just couldn't keep their records straight and their books, and boy, was he right. I really am glad that I chose that profession. However, after I graduated from college with my accounting degree and got into the accounting profession after a number of years, although it was good to have work, I found my work to be pretty boring. And I guess, you know, people would wonder, well, couldn't you figure that out when you chose accounting? Everybody thinks of it as boring, and maybe that's the case. But after I'd been in the private sector accounting world for a few years outside of college, I decided that you know, I just needed to do something to spice up my career if I was going to be doing this for, you know, another 30 or 40 years. And I had a number of friends and family that were in law enforcement, both uniformed and non-uniformed. And so I started to inquire of those friends and family about, you know, how they liked their job and, you know, what they did each day and what they, you know, disliked about the job, and decided that ultimately it sounded like a pretty good thing. Thing is that I was, you know, with an accounting background, it's the police departments aren't exactly looking for those kind of candidates to drive around the patrol cars. But, you know, that was an option. But I also noticed that there were these federal agencies, which the public seems to like to call the alphabet soup agencies. And I went ahead and looked into those and decided to apply to the FBI. And one of the friends that was in law enforcement happened to be in the IRS Criminal Investigation Division. And for those that, you know, aren't really aware of how the IRS is set up, there's about 3,000 special agents, and they're called special because they have a special function, and that is to be a federal law enforcement person within the IRS. So unlike an IRS auditor or an IRS bill collector, an IRS special agent, you know, carries a gun and a badge and gets training just like a Secret Service agent would, or just like an FBI agent would. So because of this particular friend, who actually ended up becoming my boss many years later, I decided to apply not only to the FBI, but to the IRS Criminal Investigation Division as well. And the first agency to act upon my application was the FBI. They acted very quickly. I'd say within 2, 3, 4 weeks of sending in the application, the San Francisco FBI office called me, and we began the process of evaluation whereby I could become an FBI special agent. FBI has their special agents, DEA, you name the alphabet soup agency, they generally have a special agent contingent. So, of the two agencies, the FBI or the IRS, it's probably pretty obvious to everyone that I would prefer the FBI. I mean, they were the ones that had TV shows about them, and they had a pretty good reputation, at least better reputation back then than they do now. So really thought that I was going to become an FBI special agent, and then they had a hiring freeze in the federal government, which caused them to immediately stop all evaluation of candidates. And by that time, I had actually made it through the entire process. I was literally waiting for a letter that told me, get on a plane to Quantico, Virginia for the training. So then when the hiring freeze came, it just was a wait, month after month after month, with no word from the FBI. Meanwhile, the IRS that I had also applied to calls me and asked if I was interested in a position with the IRS. And again, I was somewhat disappointed because I had my heart set on the FBI. But, hey, the FBI couldn't hire anybody. So I went to the IRS and interviewed and was offered a position, and I decided to accept it. I looked more into the job, and it looked fairly exciting. Certainly no TV shows about the IRS, because lots of the people in the public can't stand the IRS. But as a job, in terms of job satisfaction and, basically working to protect the U.S. Treasury and, my fellow citizens, the taxes that they paid, I thought I could enjoy it. So I did, and that was November of 1993 when I was sworn in as an IRS special agent. And I spent the next two, 3 years really having the time of my life, enjoying the job immensely. And, not because I had some power trip and was hammering people for their receipts. These were very high level.
You got to carry a gun, didn't you?
Yeah, carried a stick.
Did you ever get to kill anybody?
I didn't kill anybody, but I did pull it quite a few times. I did a lot of money laundering investigations, and there are some pretty seedy characters that we encountered. Did some joint investigations with the FBI and the DEA. Certainly trained to do so, but fortunately never had to get into that situation. As I say, the 2 or 3 years into the career at the IRS, things were going excellent. Lots of job satisfaction, lots of very high-level investigations, and just enjoyed it tremendously. And then the bubble burst or began to deflate when I was listening to a talk radio show in December of 1996. And it was a lady who I believe, I'm not sure if she has a show on your network or not, DV Kidd, but maybe many of your listeners have heard of her. And DV Kidd was on the radio in the San Francisco Bay Area. San Jose is where I was working at the time, which is about 50 miles to the south of San Francisco. And this DV Kidd woman was talking about the federal income tax and the Federal Reserve and conspiracies and, a lot of very chilling stuff. But, of course, prominent in her presentation was information about the income tax. And her basic message was that the income tax is largely a voluntary system in the sense that when you actually look for the laws passed by Congress and signed by the president that require the average American to pay it, you come up short. She used the word voluntary because there was basically an absence of a mandate for the average American. I thought, well, this lady's, she seems kind of kooky to be saying such a thing. I mean, I've got this gun and badge and, it doesn't look like the income tax is voluntary to me. But she offered an address you could send to for more information. And I just sent away for the information, and, you know, not as part of an IRS investigation, but just on my own. I was curious as to why she said what she said, and I expected to get to the bottom of it within a few weeks of receiving the information, finding out that it was really a crock. But at least I, you know, knew I could find out and be sure, rather than just jumping to that conclusion. So I got the information like January of 1997, and I spent the next 2 years researching these claims that she made. You know, still went to work every day as a special agent for the IRS doing my investigations, but slowly over those weeks, months, and years, trying to validate or invalidate the, you know, that basic claim she made about the federal income tax. And contrary to my expectation, which was, you know, that I would find the errors and the baloney in it, I continued to find mounting evidence that, in fact, her premise, you know, her presentation was true, that you go looking into the Internal Revenue Code, the Code of Federal Regulations, the court cases, you learn to ask questions about things that we're never trained, at least, you know, in my accounting profession, my accounting degree, and IRS training, never trained to ask, you know, what does the word income mean? Why isn't the word income defined in the Internal Revenue Code? If it's not defined in the Internal Revenue Code, who did define it, if anyone? What makes a person liable for a tax? Does a person have to be liable for a tax? You know, on and on and on. These are all questions that aren't addressed in the average university or CPA exam. Those premises are already presumed to exist, and all we're supposed to deal with is, you know, deductions and exemptions and credits and those kinds of things. So it definitely opened up my eyes to a whole new set of questions and answers. And you know, basically contrary to what I expected to find out or conclusions to arrive at, I realized that, you know, what she said was largely true. And meanwhile,
Joe,
you know, go ahead.
Joe, let me ask you a question right there. You know, I can remember, you know, your story and mine are pretty parallel, and that both of us set out to debunk the claims that we had been told about the income tax law. And both of us, after study and research, were forced to accept the fact that the law is what it is, and that these claims are not wrong. How did you, you know, I remember exactly whenever I was forced to accept the fact. Because I remember that I still wouldn't believe that there was no liability provision until I read the entire code and could say none of the stuff that I read say that we're liable for the income tax. And when I put that code down, I remember exactly how I felt. And I'm curious to know, how did you feel when you finally came to that conclusion?
I felt pretty ugly. I mean, like, you know, I've never been a rapist or a mugger or a thief, but I just felt dirty, you know, like somehow I had been unknowingly, you know, participating in something that was ultimately like a theft, you know, or deceit and theft. And I just felt dirty, like, you know, I gotta wash my hands. I have to clean myself up here, and not because, like I say, in my mind, my conscience, I had not ever done anything knowingly wrong, but whether you know it or not, once you know something different, you know, then you're put in a position to act upon it, or I guess you can ignore it, you know, and just sweep it back under the rug and go and walk on. But, you know, that was probably the critical moment for me was like, well, okay, I've always believed that my oath to support and defend the Constitution is important, hugely important. You know, I've got morals and ethics that I abide by. And, you know, so far it's been pretty easy to do that because I haven't really been challenged, you know, to make a tough decision. And here, you know, I'm sure you're the same way. It's like, well, I'm an attorney, and I've got all this reputation, and I've got all these clients, and I've got my whole past life. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, I can almost see this writing on the wall here that things are going to change. they're going to change in a massive way. And so it's a combination of a chilling feeling and an ugly, dirty feeling, and then a challenge that's kind of laid there in your lap, like, okay, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Uh-huh.
And it really makes you, you know, realize, or you kind of think back in history to all the people that you consider, you know, have done wonderful, wonderfully brave things or courageous things, and, you know, they probably had to experience a similar experience, like, you know what? This is a fork in the road, and I got to make a decision which path I'm going to take. And yeah. I just decided that the best path to take was to speak up about what I had researched, what I had validated. And, you know, I want to point out, I didn't come up with anything unique on my own. I pursued this as an investigator, just gathering facts so that I could conclude, you know, whether I was working for an agency that was functioning legitimately or not. And I concluded that they weren't, and that I didn't want to have any part of it.
So you called this to their attention.
Yeah, well, that was another, you know, thought process. Is what am I going to do? I've got this tiger by the tail. What do I do? You know, there's no books on how an IRS special agent, you know, spills the beans about what he's been looking into. Or I just have to think about it, and I end up presenting my report to.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Joe. I guess a good place to take a break. But we're going to be taking one because it's a hard one. Folks, we'll be back here in a minute. Joe's going to continue with his story. You'll find out what happened whenever he decided that he had to call this to somebody's attention. And we're going to be back here on Liberty's Hammer and Anvil on the Micro Effect Network in just a few minutes. We'll see you on the other side of the top of the hour for the second half of Liberty's Hammer and Anvil.
There's war after war and rumors of war from the east.
Do you know the difference between money and wealth? Money is a measure of value which can change over time, while wealth is an abundance of whatever is valuable. Gold has always held its value throughout history, and Eldorado Discount Gold can offer you financial security and help you protect and preserve your wealth.
Eldorado Discount Gold.
Contact Steve now at www.eldoradogold.net to find out more, or call him at 813-300-3463.
Eldorado Discount Gold.
As the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar continues to plummet, world governments and businesses are running to the surety and peace of mind that only gold can provide. Don't be left behind. Call Steve now at 813-300-3463 or send him an email through www.eldoradogold.net.
Eldorado Discount Gold.
With over 60 years of wealth preservation experience, let Eldorado Discount Gold do the work for you. Contact Steve now at www.eldoradogold.net to find out more, or call him at 813-300-3463. Act now.
Ah! Ah! Johnson, help me, sir!
Stand down.
Oh, thank you, sir. I think you saved my life.
Evidence, Johnson. Even raccoons respect the authority of a man with good nutrition. That's me. Now, what's going on here?
Well, he started it, sir. I was trying to clean this fish, and he tried to take it from me.
Yeah, well, you must have looked a little wimpy.
Sir, I'm hungry.
Johnson, if you'd have brought your own supply of freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy, like I told you, you wouldn't have to be out here picking on the cute little animals.
Oh, I'd give anything for a big chunk of protein right now.
Johnson, don't salivate. It's unbecoming a Marine.
I'm sorry, sir. I should have called the freeze-dry guy.
Bugs you, Donut Johnson. You're suffering your MREs, and I'm enjoying chicken a la king and lasagna and bacon and eggs for breakfast.
Sir, shut up.
Johnson?
Sorry, sir.
Get your own supply of the best long-term storage food available. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com.
Your area has just unexpectedly flooded. The power's out, so is the water, and you are thirsty. But wait, outside, look. There's lots of water. And then you see it.
Oh my gosh! What is that floating in the water? And what is that odor?
No problem. You thought ahead and own a Berkey water purification system. Berkey has revolutionized the way water is purified simply and naturally. Requiring no power, electricity, or water pressure, the powerful black Berkey elements extract pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, heavy metals, and yeah, other nasties that might be found in flood water. Berkey systems can purify treated water during normal times, and during unexpected emergencies, they can get rid of the unhealthy stuff and raw, untreated water.
For more information on the powerful Berkey line of products, go to themicroeffect.com and click on Berkey Water Filters. That's themicroeffect.com and click on Berkey Water Filters. Or dial 888-803-4438.
You're listening to The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
Can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move.
And welcome back to Liberty's Hammer and Anvil here on the Micro Effect Radio Network. Larry Beecraft is out due to government interference with his power, phone, and internet access. The agents have surrounded his office now, and no telling what is happening now, but if we get a report, we'll bring you up to date. But we do have Joe Bannister on with us today, former CID special agent with the IRS. And Joe, at just at the break in the last hour, you had been telling your story about how you had made discovery trying to debunk certain claims that you had heard on a radio program that there were difficulties with the way that the Internal Revenue Service was applying the income tax to Americans. Now, before we get into what you did with that information, could you give us a brief description of what you found? I mean, you had indicated that they were right, but what were they contending? What did you determine the truth to be as a result of your investigation?
Well, as I'm sure you found, I mean, it's like you keep wondering how deep the rabbit hole goes. But I came to learn that the Federal Reserve System and the federal income tax both came into being at about the same time in 1913, and there was a good reason for that they came in together, because they are kind of joined at the hip. The income tax is a necessity for the monetary system that came in with the Federal Reserve System. I really had never given a thought to the Federal Reserve or fiat currency or any of those issues. The learn the true purpose of the income tax wasn't necessarily to raise revenue, which was kind of an eye-opening thing to me. I also learned that the 16th Amendment had never been ratified. I came across research done by Bill Benson in Illinois, where he had traveled to all 48 of the contiguous United States and determined that the amendment had never been ratified, or at least fraudulently ratified, because of the number of states that did not, properly ratify the amendment. And then I also learned that even if the 16th Amendment had been ratified, you know, the so-called income tax amendment, that according to the Supreme Court, it did not expand federal taxing power. And that directly contradicted what the IRS leads the public to believe and leads its agents to believe, that with the 16th Amendment, you know, the IRS basically had carte blanche to just tax everything under the sun.
I've even seen them claim that because of the 16th Amendment, we were liable. That would be like, you know, the Constitution gives Congress a power to declare war. So does that mean that we can attack Canada?
Right. More and more contradictions, or, you know, between what the IRS was doing on a daily basis and what the law appeared to sanction. Almost, if you drew a small circle and consider that to be what's authorized, and then you drew a real big circle around that small circle and say, this is what the IRS does. They go way beyond the apparent authority that they have, and they use it, and they do so largely through deceit and propaganda and selective enforcement to scare, frighten the majority of the public. So between the public's, lack of sophistication in tax matters, which, you know, is understandable. I mean,
well, you're an accountant, a CPA, and you were deceived simply because you took things off faith of what you were told. I'm an attorney, I was deceived. I took things on the basis of what I was told. So I can't. We can't really fault the public for accepting that. But the problem is that the ones that have read the law, the only ones who don't believe what the IRS says are the ones who have read the law.
Exactly. And that was basically my point, is that, you know,
would this be a good place for us to take a couple of calls?
Sure, that's fine with me.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go on ahead and pull these guys up. We got Mike who's calling in. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great.
Hey, Joe. I've always wanted to talk to you. I've heard a lot about you, and I really mean this. You're a great American. It's a lot to do what you do and to have done what you did, because it is very difficult to go in that direction and all of a sudden realize and turn around. Larry Becraft and I know each other, and I'm an attorney in Huntsville, Alabama. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Uh-huh. Okay, because there's a little bit of an echo in the phone. I'm sorry. also, I did the Good Old Boys Roundup case, and you know Dr. Whitehurst. You ever heard of him?
I've heard of the Good Old Boys thing.
I did that. I did the Rich shot the video. Actually, he moved to Idaho shortly after that because they harassed him so much. And he's the one who actually taught that the ATF Rachel parties and that kind of stuff back a long time ago, but he's a really good guy, and he went through a lot of stuff too, and actually is now a practicing attorney. And what do you find it's one of the toughest things to get people to understand is that would you think it'd be the federal government has limited jurisdiction within a state?
You're saying, like, the public? I mean, like, just the average person?
Yeah, the public,
person?
Trying to get them to understand the whole concept of, you know, like, what you're talking about, what, like, income, and this definition of what it really means, which is really profit, not compensation, and all the different little interplays that people are so indoctrinated. When you sit down and talk to somebody, like agents you worked with, what did you find was one of the most difficult areas that they had the most trouble with?
Well, unfortunately, there aren't too many agents in a sense, this benefits the IRS because they can just say that I'm just some wingnut. There aren't too many agents, hardly any, that have followed me out. And as far as the public, I mean, repetition seems to work best for me. I mean, even my own family members, it just takes them a while to grasp certain concepts. I have a friend who's a CPA, He's got 30 years of experience. He's an awesome guy. He believes in the Constitution, and but it was just recently, after all these years of knowing me, that he had a chance to order Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island.
Yeah.
And even he was telling me a couple weeks ago, he said, I'm just amazed at how my eyes have been opened about the way that this, you know, monetary system works and how it works with the taxation system. And here's a guy who, you know, he's very pro-Second Amendment, he's pro-Constitution, he's a bright guy, he knows the government's, you know, likes to cheat people if they can get away with it. But just reading that book and having these extra puzzle pieces be put together, I just was amazed that I thought that stuff he knew about, but even he was just like, you know, he took the time to read it. And just went, wow, my eyes have been opened so much wider than they already were.
That's an interesting aspect of it that I hadn't thought about, Joe. And it, what basically this guy needed was, and if you stop and think about this, if you're going to, you've got a typical crime mystery, you're looking for opportunity, means, and motive. Well, you know, he could see the opportunity, he could see the means. But he needed a motive, and whatever he found out about Jekyll Island and the Fed conspiracy, that was the motive.
Yeah.
To suck the wealth out of the country. And
that's exactly right.
Out of the middle class, who didn't really deserve to have prosperity because they weren't us.
That's exactly right.
You know, so that was what it took, all three clicks for him, you know.
And I think that's probably, it's a difficult thing to get people to understand this a lot of times, but like when you start plugging in, like the fiat currency issue that you mentioned earlier, and the problems in getting the Federal Reserve audited, that we're seeing how, you know, that it is an entity unto itself to the point where it can tell Congress to take a hike. And those kind of things they're coming out. I mean, Ron Paul has been a big help in that area, I believe. And, you know, like you said, you know, getting them to understand that the 16th Amendment and the Federal Reserve Act, you know, pretend to be passed in the same year, that they really were the left and the right hand of tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. And I would also have to give, thanks or to D.V. Kidd that she, in her presentation, these little booklets that I ordered when I first started on this journey, were very comprehensive. I mean, they gave numerous examples of government corruption and lying, on a massive scale. She connected the dots with the monetary system and the income tax. She talked about vote fraud. And I think that, you know, these are booklets that, you know, are 40 to 50 pages long, and now here, 10 or 15 years later, there's that many fewer people that like to read or want to read. So, you know, my response really is that even if it takes a DVD or video in place of the written word, something that's fairly comprehensive to not just drone on about liability or about 16th Amendment not being ratified, but just a comprehensive approach where you don't get into anything too deeply, but you get a nice big smorgasbord of issues, and then, you know, somebody's there at the end to just dial it all together and piece it all together for the listener or the viewer.
You know, Truth Attack put up a series of those videos on YouTube some time ago where I explained the three different basic problems, and I did it in basic English. You know, after 36 years of practice, you learn how to translate. It's not an easy thing to do sometimes, but YouTube purged them.
Too much truth, huh?
You know, well, you get them up there for a little while.
You know, one of the things, Joe, and I'm sure you're familiar with the Franklin Sanders case. Do you remember that case?
Oh, yeah, I know Franklin.
Okay, well, I was one of the attorneys in it. And one of the things that we found that was effective is it wasn't just repetition, but it was the ability, the cheat defense, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, because, you know, what happened in that trial is we had 6 months to educate, you know, these people. And it was really worked against the government. The more things they heard, the more jury outs they had over national security, over money, the things that happened, finally the jury began to get it, but it took a long time. The government has not consolidated anybody in a big joint trial like that, I don't think, since that time, at least not to my knowledge, because they took such a beating in that trial. But it was all about the information the jury was getting, and no matter, the more they tried to stifle it, the more the jury began to turn on the government's theory.
Mike, could I ask you a question?
Sure.
Since you were involved in the Franklin Sanders, you know, trial,
huh?
During the government's case in chief, did the team come out and ring these bells during cross examinations on their witnesses?
Did the team do? Do what now?
You know, what I like to do is whenever I like to use cross examination.
Oh yeah. No, did we do that and get them to, yeah, you know, basically show us the law type thing? And what happened so many times, and I think Joe went through this one time. Unfortunately, he had a good result also. That they go after and try to make it look like you're an idiot, and the judge says, oh, you can't get into the law. So the only way you can get into the law is have a good faith, quote unquote, misunderstanding of the law, and so you have to ring those bells. And all the time the judge was trying to either unring them or ring them the other direction.
Because you see, they're testifying to legal conclusions. They're testifying, for example, in a typical evasion case like mine,
mm-hmm.
they were testifying that this was income. They were testifying
right.
that I was liable. They were testifying that I had that I had an obligation to file.
Right.
Now, these are all legal conclusions. And
they are. It invades the province of the jury, but the government is given that luxury where you are not allowed to contradict them. And, I mean, that's what Cheek and Powell are really all about, is basically, you know, we have to have a strict, they have to have the strict interpretation. The jury is told this is the law, that you must take your instructions from the judge, that you can't go outside those instructions. And anybody who's doing these cases of defending anyone is stuck with the position of having to go, you have to weave your way around it. You can't just take it straight on. You can't say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, in like a nullification situation,
right,
that this is not the law. Here's what we think the law is. You're not allowed to go and do that. You have to very intellectually go around this, or tactically go around the jury being told that you're a lying sack of stuff,
right.
and that you quite honestly don't know what you're talking about.
Did you raise or challenge these witnesses for the legal basis for their legal conclusions? I guess that was the way I should have put it.
Oh, is there a way to do it? You know, yeah.
No, I meant, well, did you do that in the Franklin case?
We did some. The biggest problem that we had is that we could, after they looked like idiots, they cut us off and quit letting us do it. But we were able to successfully do it enough, you know, like show us the law, like what Joe's saying. You know, show us the law where this person is an individual citizen living inside the United States is required to file.
All right. Well, folks, we're running up into a break again. It seems like every time we're having fun, we run into breaks, but that's all right. That's what we got to do here. This is Tom Cryer. We're talking to Mike, an attorney from Huntsville, Alabama, and we've got on Joe Bannister as our guest today. So you've got a lot to hang around for. There's plenty to be going on. We got more of Joe's story to tell, too. So be here after the break. We'll be right back.
There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast.
Our area has just unexpectedly flooded. The power's out, so is the water, and you are thirsty. But wait, outside, look. There's lots of water. And then you see it.
Oh my gosh! What is that floating in the water? And what is that odor?
No problem.
You thought ahead and own a Berkey water purification system. Berkey has revolutionized the way water is purified simply and naturally. Requiring no power, electricity, or water pressure, the powerful black Berkey elements extract pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, heavy metals, and yeah, other nasties that might be found in flood water. Berkey systems can purify treated water during normal times, and during unexpected emergencies, they can get rid of the unhealthy stuff in raw, untreated water.
For more information on the powerful Berkey line of products, go to themicroeffect.com and click on Berkey Water Filters. That's themicroeffect.com and click on Berkey Water Filters. Or dial 888-803-4438.
Silver has long been used throughout history as a way to disinfect and prolong the freshness of water and food, as well as utilized for its beneficial healing and anti-disease properties. From the Greeks, the Romans, and the Phoenicians to the Middle Ages, from the first settlers in America to its preventative use against infection during World War I, silver was always known for its health benefits. Hippocrates wrote extensively about the healing power of silver. In the 1920s, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the use of silver solutions as antibacterial agents. So what happened? Why aren't you hearing about silver these days? For those seeking an alternative to the big pharma products and their side effects, International Health has what you've been looking for. Super Silver is an engineered silver nanoparticle solution created using the unique and patented silver technology process of International Health's biotech labs. Hundreds of university and government level tests have been done, and the 50th clinical trial has been completed. What is the FDA hiding from you? Find out at www.ihsite.com or call Glenn at 800-974-1877 to place an order.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news.
Somebody's army. And here we go again on Liberty's Hammer and Anvil on the Micro Effect Radio Network. This is Tom Cryer. Larry B. Craft in spirit, albeit in absentia, which means we can say anything about him we want to, but we're too busy talking about Joe Bannister. And we've got Mike on the phone from Alabama, who's within earshot probably of Larry right about now. Huntsville's not a very big town. And it's probably as big as Shreveport, so I shouldn't pick right.
It's pretty good size.
But
it's not bad.
Yeah, but Mike, did you have any other questions? Because we've got another caller that's been holding for a while, and I tell you, I want to continue this conversation with you sometime.
Sure.
Because having been through the experience of having to convince a jury in just a matter of a couple of hours, not 6 months,
yeah,
I know what the challenge is like.
It is.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've always wanted to talk to Joe. I think he does, great things. And it's an amazing, integrity for him to have done the things that he has done before.
Well, Mike, before you leave, though, I want to thank attorneys like you and Tom and all the ones that might be listening, because if it wasn't for attorneys who had the courage to help us communicate our innocence to juries, we'd be screwed.
Well, yeah, I agree, and the thing is that there isn't enough of us, and unfortunately, we are all targets. We have to do things we don't agree with. But there, Larry sent me something that was kind of interesting. It was a case that came out of Pennsylvania, and I know you got somebody on the line. I'll try to make this brief. But they basically had it mandated that you had to give your Social Security number to get a pistol in Pennsylvania. And there was a ruling that came out that said, and they were enjoined from doing it by a federal court in Pennsylvania, obviously a good ruling. And I thought that maybe that could be applied to driver's license and other things when they mandate that information.
Well, they have ruled that they cannot require anybody to have his Social Security number on his driver's license.
Not on it. I'm talking about, but you don't have to produce it. It was the ruling from this court.
Well, yeah, for the gun purchase.
Right. And so, yeah. Consequently, remember your Social Security card said this, can't be used for identification purposes, and no person can be denied, rights or privileges, basically, that if they don't produce this. And remember, that has always traditionally been the law, and this case that Larry sent to me is very clearly on point with that very issue, which is something Alabama has been demanding the Social Security number in order to be able to get the right to travel, turn into a privilege. And they are mandating that you do that, and consequently, I think this case would be of some great help to anyone on the challenge.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's interesting, and I'd like to see where you could that same logic and reasoning.
Sure. Paul, let me give you my number, and Joe, let me give you mine if you want me to. You want me to give you that?
Sure. Do you email that to Tom, or
I can do it on. I can. You know. Sure, I can do that. Let me make sure I got this email correct.
Oh, you want to send something? To me, I don't mind because I do publicize this email address. It's Cryer Law.
I mean, I don't mind giving my number out because I do it anyway for a living. But if you want my numbers, I can give them to you. You want me to give it to you now or just email it? Your choice.
It's your number. We'll just let you be the judge.
Okay. Well, it's 256-650-0078. And I have Decatur office, which is 256-340-7277.
Right.
Well, yeah, I'd like to hear from you both. And again, thanks for taking the call and enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the call. It's a great call, Mike. And now let's jump because we definitely want to get to the rest of the story. And Paul Harvey would have put it, bless his heart, rest in peace. But let's talk to Thomas in Georgia. How are you doing, Thomas?
I'm doing well. How are you two gentlemen doing?
Thanks for being so patient. What's got on your mind?
not hardly. I really, I am thrilled, tickled to death to finally get to talk to such a great hero as Joe Bannister. I have seen Freedom to Fascism and watched it a few times. I have read his story, his bio, and the persecution that he's, you know, been under for some time because of what he realized, what he took upon himself, and allowing his conscience to be the guide, which, you know, there's not many people in these federal agencies that do what you did, Joe, and I mean, you know, you're a real blessing, and I am glad to hear someone lump the Federal Reserve and the IRS together sort of into one context to some degree because they are both interrelated.
Frickin' frack.
All right, well, did you have a question for Joe?
How far down the rabbit hole does this go with the labor? I assume from what I've picked up over the years that it has to do with your labor is not profit, therefore it is not taxable. Is that correct?
Joe?
I kind of thought you were going to jump in on that one, but
okay,
yeah.
Well,
I will
if you want me to.
Basically, yes, it's not income, and you know, income may be taxable, but if the money you receive for your labor isn't income, then can't be subject to an income tax, because you know, even the IRS points to the word income over and over again. So it really comes down to how you define income, right, Tom?
Yeah.
I agree.
And
I agree.
Just that, but there's a lot of layers of skin on this thing, Thomas. One, for example, is what is and isn't income, and income is basically profit or gain. It has to be that. Now, the IRS takes a position that when you have money that you receive in exchange for your labor, that your labor has a zero basis. And the word basis means the number that is assigned to the capital value of what you expended in order to receive the gross receipts. Your wages are gross receipts, but then you have to back out the capital or what the investment and expenses were. And they say that when you receive wages at the expense of days and weeks and months or years out of your life, at the expense of your effort, at the expense of your labor, at the expense of your knowledge, your expertise, your skills being applied for the benefit of another rather than for yourself, that expense is worth zero. And we're going into another break, but you know, There's no basis in the law for them to call your labor worthless. There's absolutely no zero basis for the zero basis rule. Thanks for the call, George. Thomas, we'll probably kick that around after we get the rest of this story in, so stay on, and maybe we can supplement that answer a little bit better. But I sure want to make sure we get Joe's story in. Stay with us, folks. We're going to the rest of the story after this break. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast.
When you build your own firearm, you build confidence.
KT Ordnance offers the best ATF-approved 80% kits that can be made into firearms.
And when you build your own firearm,
you know it inside and out.
You know how it fires.
You take pride in ownership. Head to KTOrdnance.com for a great father-son or father-daughter firearm build, like the .45 caliber KT-1911, or choose the .50 caliber KTP-50 that fires a 275-grain bullet for pure stopping power. KT Ordnance's kits are fully legal, ATF-approved, 80% firearm kits with no serial numbers, no background check, and no government 4473 forms to fill out. Go to ktordnance.com and get yours today. That's ktordnance.com. ktordnance.com. Building your own firearm is fun, and you acquire useful skills,
especially at times like these.
Remember, when you build your own firearm, you know it inside and out. KT Ordnance also accepts gold and silver payments. Visit ktordnance.com today.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you. It rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The people who had the spirit of Antichrist, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, naturally. And the world heareth them because it recognizes its own language. But we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us.
These are the words of 20th century prophet A.W. Tozer. He is the author of over 40 books that you aren't likely to find at your local Christian bookseller. So where can you go to find such inspiration? Introducing Cornerstone Books, with the largest selection available of the writings of A.W. Tozer, Amy Carmichael, Richard Wurmbrand, and countless others. Cornerstone Books makes the truth available worldwide with the detail and personality of a local bookseller. Visit the website at www.cornerstone-unlimited.com for a complete inventory of its authors, as well as audio files and much, much more. That's www.cornerstone-unlimited.com, or you can call toll free at 888-239-9890. That's 888-239-9890.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV.
And welcome back to Liberty's Hammer and Anvil right here on the MicroEffect Radio Network. I am Tom Cryer, and Larry B. Kraft has been forced out by Gestapo-style tactics engaged in by the local animal protective services there in Huntsville, Alabama. I don't know what he's been doing to animals. But they don't like it. They've cut off his power, and they've cut off his water, and they've got his office surrounded. And we'll get a report to you on that next week. Now, Joe, we were talking about your story, and you had made the determination that you had to do something. And I, Lord knows I can identify with the torturous point that was, because you know, when you have the option, at least theoretically, of putting your head down and staring at your shoes for the rest of your life, and pretending not to know what you know, that's a pretty dismal outlook, and you feel forced, you know, to and compelled to do something other than that. I know I was, and I know you were too. So what did you do?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I you know, there's no real guidance. I mean, I guess if my father was still alive at the time, I would have had a heart-to-heart talk with him. My mom was a little too emotional to talk about the topic with. So I just did a lot of praying and, you know, thinking about what would be the proper course of action. And what I decided, you know, with hopefully God's inspiration, was to approach my supervisors at the IRS and explain, you know, what I had done and what I had gathered as far as evidence and what my preliminary conclusions were. And so I, in order to facilitate that presentation, I created a report that was about 95 pages long, and it was called Investigating the Federal Income Tax, a Preliminary Report. And so I got this report together, and I typed up a transmittal letter to go along with the report that basically said, you know, I've worked very hard to dismiss or invalidate these claims, these conclusions, but, you know, over the last 2 years, I can't help but conclude that there's a lot of truth to it. And because there's a lot of truth to these claims about the income tax, that means that the IRS is, you know, engaged in deceitful, if not illegal, behavior and conduct. And it's got to come to an end. And I figured that, well, you know, they're probably not going to like this message too much, but frankly, the people that I'm giving this message to took the same oath to support and defend the Constitution that I did. They got the same memorandums that I did that said that, you know, if we encounter fraud, waste, or abuse, we're supposed to report it. So I thought, even grudgingly, they would, you know, do something with the information. So I asked that they review it and then go over it with me. And I said, if you can't review it or go over it with me, then I'll be forced to resign because I can't serve two masters. And so they took my report, and within a couple days, I was called into my chief's office there in San Jose, California, and he said, what I'm about to do, I've been instructed to do. And he gave me this short memorandum that said that the IRS would not be reviewing my report or discussing it with me, and that the IRS would provide me with the paperwork necessary to tender my resignation. So once he gave me that memorandum, I was placed on administrative leave and basically sent home for 7 days. And at the end of the 7-day period, I was supposed to contact the IRS and tell them what I was going to do. And so they didn't fire me, but, you know, they put me on administrative leave and kind of left the ball in my court. So when I got back home, and, you know, as I joke, I did dodge being hit with a frying pan from my wife because of, you know, I had put my family through so much suffering, really, and difficulty in becoming an IRS special agent. I had to take like a $30,000 pay cut, and my wife at the time was left with our youngest son, who was a colicky, you know, infant. And so then to come in 1999 and say, you know, that job that I love so much, well, you know, it's a it's a fraud. At least, you know, the IRS's conduct in implementing this income tax is a fraud. And so I spoke up about it, and now I've been sent home. So it wasn't too peaceful at home.
The price of integrity oftentimes isn't only paid for by us, but by those around us. I mean, none of us is disconnected from the rest of the world, and sometimes, it's a mass thing. It's a family thing, and it is sad that, you see, I had the benefit. It was me, and that's why, you know, I look at the sacrifice that you made and the factors that were at play, and I wonder, you know, to me, I didn't think there was any question or any doubt in my mind, but if I'd had all those factors to bear on me, I don't know if I would have been as big a man as you have been and actually stand up and say my integrity is worth that. But you did, and I commend you for it.
Well, I think you'd still be there, Tom. I mean, you can't, you know, it's the same factors that get involved there. It grates at you, you know, when you do like to live your life with as much integrity as possible. It just grates at you, and I wasn't going to want to deal with that. I had to do what I did, and I think, you know, there's many people that would. It's just kind of a shame, kind of disappointing that after 10 years, I do know of a few agents that left for other agencies, and just based on my prior conversations with them, I believe that, you know,
that
there might have been something to my resignation that might have prompted them to at least leave the agency.
Well, Joe, one of the things that I wanted to do, and I wanted to get that story across, but they weren't through with you then, were they?
No. I guess I'll fast forward to the most juicy part.
Mm-hmm.
1999 was when I resigned and just went out and spoke, and really just whenever I was invited. I didn't make a living at it or anything.
Right.
But eventually the IRS tired of me, going out and speaking about my experiences that I've laid out here in the show. And so they indicted me for conspiring with one of my clients. And I was facing probably at least 3 to 4 years in federal prison. And the accusation was that I conspired with this client to defraud the United States of America, and that I prepared, as a CPA, 3 false federal income tax returns. Well, the problem for the government was that everything that I did was absolutely legal, and in fact invited by the IRS. You're probably familiar with it, Tom, and your listeners may not be. But the IRS will claim that the proper, pathway is to pay the tax first and then sue for a refund. Well, this particular client had paid the tax already and wanted to sue for a refund. And the first step in that process is to prepare an amended tax return with your belief about what the true number was. Well, to the client, the true number was 0. And so he wanted a tax return prepared with 0 taxable income. And based on, you know, everything in the regulations and the law, I thought that he had a reasonable position to at least ask for his money back. And that's all we did. We followed the rule book in asking for the client's money back. And the IRS turned that into a conspiracy between me, his CPA, and him to defraud the government by asking for a refund of money that they claim was a fraudulent request.
In other words, they accuse you of obstructing fraud.
Yeah. And
attempting to obstruct fraud.
Fortunately, you know, we still have a few rights left, and one of them is a right to a jury trial. And so when my trial came, the government, you know, the DOJ, Department of Justice, just could not find any evidence that, you know, my client and I had some agreement to, you know, defraud the government. Of course, they couldn't find anything because there wasn't anything. We never had that intention. We were simply following the rule book on how you go about asking for your money back. And the government, the Department of Justice, and the IRS turned that into this big, huge conspiracy case. Mm-hmm. And because they had no evidence of it, their case fell apart. Now, of course, me being a former investigator, I'd like to remind your listeners that, you know, the reason you have an investigation and a prosecution is that the investigation is supposed to determine if there's anything there to prosecute. So basically, the agent should have learned during the investigation that there was nothing there to prosecute. And in fact, I understand, at least through some second and third parties, that the special agent who investigated me actually recommended that I not be prosecuted. So that the government actually went against the very agent that, you know, looked into my life for 2 or 3 years.
Their object wasn't just to convict you, it was to prosecute you whether they could convict you or not. They wanted to subject you to the ordeal.
Right. So, fortunately, as I say, I did have a jury trial, and the jury was paying attention, and they even told me after the trial, you know, we kept wondering why every time the government brought out new evidence, it made you look so good. And I said, well, that's because most of their documentary evidence came from me. I'm the one that generated it. It was letters to the IRS asking questions about why they were, you know, not processing the paperwork. And, you know, the government's case was based on my own work papers that I generated for a client, just like any CPA would.
Yeah.
And, of course, it made me look good because I was doing what a CPA should do for his client.
Yeah.
So the jury acquitted me of all the charges. But as you said, you know, I was supposed to go through that ordeal. And, of course, the government was hoping to throw up enough on the wall that it would stick. By the grace of God, I had, you know, great attorneys who communicated the farce of this case against me. And, in fact, Jeffrey Dickstein, who you may have had on your show, who actually was involved with the Franklin Sanders case that we talked about earlier in the show, the title of his closing argument was, which side is the con on? C-O-N.
Yeah.
Like conspiracy and conning people.
Yep.
So,
well,
if
progress is moving forward, where's Congress? And, you know, I understand. I've got another report in. At the last report, you know, the Animal Protection Services were surrounding Leary's offices and it cut off his electricity and water supply and had stopped up the sewer line going out from the office.
Well,
so
I don't think things
could
maybe
flush evidence down. But I understand that Leary has slipped out through the cordon and has made contact. Leary, what's the latest on this? What's the latest development on this crisis that's been going on, the breaking news we've been giving our listeners?
No, it's just the electrical plug in the wall, you know, that knocks all the power off. Hope we got it solved. But hey, Joe, this is an interesting program. I'm glad you got to tell your story.
There's no raid?
No raid.
The Animal Protection Services wasn't really there? We were wondering what it was you've been doing to animals that, you know, prompted that raid.
All electrical.
Larry, so, Tom had me all worried. I thought he was really serious.
You know, Larry, what we had while you were during your absence, I'm glad you are back, and I'm glad you're safe.
Well, I went to Home Depot, got one of these wall plugs, and my brother pulled the old one out and put the new one in, and hopefully it'll work.
Well, so far.
Yes.
But, you know, we had a call from a fellow, Thomas in Georgia, who had asked what the whole skinny was on the issue of whether or not wages were income, and I don't think we really gave him a thorough answer because we were trying to get to the rest of Joe's story on how they actually attempted to prosecute him with a bogus conspiracy charge, And I promised that we were going to try to get back to that before the show was out. And all that I wanted to do, well, to supplement that, was to point out that in addition to the question of whether or not there's any profit after you back out the expense of a time out of your life, the expense of your effort, the expense of your labor, the expense of your time, expertise, knowledge, skill, talent, being devoted for the benefit of another instead of yourself, to call that worthless is absolutely groundless. It's a totally frivolous argument because there's no legal basis whatsoever for it. And another one of the government's frivolous arguments. But the other aspect of that, on the back side of it, is that it's not even the income that's being taxed, according to the Supreme Court. What's being taxed is the activity that creates the income. And your activity, earning a living through your own labor, is the exercise of a fundamental right, and so it's not taxable. So it's not income, and it's not taxable, and the tax is imposed on taxable income only. It has to be both. So I just wanted to supplement it with that, but I did not want to put it into jeopardy whether or not we were going to be able to get the rest of Joe's story out. But, Joe, there's still another chapter to tell, isn't there?
Well, if it has to do with truth attack, yeah.
Do what?
If the rest of the story has to do with truth attack and the things that happened after my prosecution, absolutely.
Yeah. And why don't you tell them about that?
Well, I have been fortunate throughout these 10 years since I left the IRS to, work with very, very courageous people like Tom Cryer, Larry B. Kraft, who have taught me a lot over the years. And Tom had this fantastic, wonderful idea called Truth Attack to basically join all of our efforts together under one umbrella, at least in terms of, cooperation. And so I'm happy to, my little Freedom Above Fortune organization, freedomabovefortune.com, is part of that, and I'm just, tickled to be working with such stellar personalities in the freedom movement as Larry B. Kraft and Tom Cryer.
Boy, what a great judge of character this guy is, don't you think so, Larry? Yeah, well, now you mentioned your preliminary investigation report, the investigation of the income tax, preliminary report. I understand. Now, that's available to people if they wanted to see that and read it, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
How would they obtain a copy of that?
They can go to my website, which is freedomabovefortune.com, order it. Or there's a website called, you can go to biography on my website, and there's some information dealing with my trial if someone's interested in the trial transcripts or some of the videotape testimony. It's not court TV, but there's certainly some evidence of the ridiculous case that the government brought against me. So you can find all that at freedomabovefortune.com.
And they can contribute online there to freedomabovefortune.com, and it says, because you're all over the country, you're spending money out of your pocket also, just like, a lot of us are, but you're, don't you have a way of accepting or for somebody to make a contribution to FAF?
Absolutely. I mean, I, as you guys, we're not independently wealthy. We, kind of just rely on God's providence to take care of us. But if there's people out there who've got a few extra bucks, I certainly incur ongoing legal expenses and travel expenses. And, people want me to speak, and they can't necessarily pay for me to speak. So certainly donations are always welcome. And, I urge people to send cash or money order only for their own protection and privacy. I've been called a lightning rod by some people in the tax movement. So, if you can contribute, send a couple bucks. The address is on the website. That's every little bit helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People don't realize, you know, one of the most memorable contributions I received when people were sending money in for my, to help with my defense was a little envelope, a handwritten address on it, in little old lady writing. You know how little old ladies write. And I opened up the envelope, and it had a piece of aluminum foil in it. And inside that aluminum foil were six wrinkled, very worn $1 bills. And, you know, I had to wonder, you know, what did this little old lady, how long, you know, had she been holding those $6? And what would $6 have meant to her household, you know, to her daily or weekly budget? And you realize that when people are giving like that, that, you know, you realize, I knew it wasn't five, it wasn't ten, it was six. And that was every dollar she could give. And you wonder, where would we be if everybody was like that little old lady? And God bless her, and God bless all the ones that are out there like her, you know, that are supporting these efforts like Freedom Above Fortune and Truth Attack. And, you know, that's what it takes, is for all of us to pull the wagon some way or another. You know, Joe, you and I are out there pulling the wagon every day, pushing the wagon, kicking the wagon, putting the wheels back on. But these folks that are sending in those financial contributions are, you know, essential components. We can't, you know, that's the oil for the wheels. That's the bullets when we get in the firefight.
You're so very right.
And you know we're going to be ambushed again and again and again. You know, this isn't going to end until we, you know, take this fraud and expose it across the country, which is what you and I are going to be doing in October and November. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Down in Florida.
I always enjoy working with you, Tom, and, you know, all we can do is do our best, and, you know, God does the rest.
Well, that, I'll tell you what, God has blessed the state of Florida with abundance of patriots. Those people down there are, I'm getting spoiled because these people in Florida are so cohesive, so cooperative, so eager to assist each other. And you don't see that a lot in the freedom movement sometimes. And we need a lot more of it. We can learn from those folks. Just like I told, you know, somebody a while back about the Special Olympics race where the little boy fell halfway through the race, skinned his knee, and all the other runners stopped, went back, and helped him up. And then they all crossed the finish line together. We could learn a lot from those retarded kids. You know, if we all just pull, everybody pulls some way. Even if it's just to send in contributions so that we've got the fuel and the bullets and the pup tents. And we are running into the end of the program, folks. We've gotten through this. Even though we've had very little help from Larry, but he's carried the ball for me a lot of times. I owe him a few of those. And we'll be back here, both of us, next Saturday for our Liberty's Hammer and Anvil. And we hope to see you again. Thanks a lot for being on, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right. Next week, folks.
There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast.
Now you can feel that squeaky clean sensation like none other with Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash. Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash is a unique natural formula not found in any other oral care products. With a gentle combination of zinc, folic acid, myrrh, and clove oil, Vitamer effectively whitens teeth, removes plaque, and freshens breath, and it does it naturally without any harmful chemicals. Visit us online at Vitamer.com. That's Vitamyr.com. Or call us today to place your order at 1-888-558-8482. That's 1-888-558-8482. 888-558-8482. Keep your teeth and gums healthy with Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash. Vitamer, nature's answer to healthy teeth and gums. And remember, it's all completely natural. Available at participating health food stores nationwide.
Johnson, you're bringing it through here.
Gosh, sir. We've been climbing the face of this pyramid for over 5 minutes. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I can see you are. But I'm fine. Why is that, Johnson?
I don't know, sir.
Nutrition Boy, I told you. I bought my food for this journey from a freeze-dry guy, and I got delicious, nutritious stuff, and I feel great. But you...
Sir, I've already heard that lecture.
Yeah, probably a waste of time. Come on, Johnson. Through that hatch right there.
Yes, sir.
Down these steps.
Coming, sir.
Through the door at the bottom, and here it is, Johnson. Behold.
Wow! A sarcophagus full of freeze-dried food!
And notice the variety.
Sir, that means even the ancient Egyptians knew about the freeze-dry guy.
No, it means I planted it here in 97 and it's still good.
Wow.
Let's eat, boy.
Yeah.
What do we have? Beef stroganoff?
Oh, yeah.
Chicken and noodles? Got some sweet...